Isaiah 41. Keep silent before me, islands, and let the peoples renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us meet together for judgment. Who has raised up one from the east? Who called him to his foot in righteousness? He hands over nations to him and makes him rule over kings. He gives them like the dust to his sword, like the driven stubble to his bow. So first of all, this is talking about Cyrus, whom God raised up and gave him all these nations under him so that he would be God's special messenger and God's special servant. And ultimately, he was the one who let the Jews return from captivity. So people arise on the world stage and they appear to arise because of good luck, hard work, clever connections, being very smart and astute in their politics. But in the end, it is the hand of God working amongst the nations. Who has worked and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen and fear, the ends of the earth tremble, they approach and come, every one helps his neighbour. They say to their brothers, be strong. So the carpenter encourages the goldsmith, he who smooths with the hammer encourages him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it's good, and he fastens it with nails that it might not totter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you, whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and called from its corners and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away. Don't you be afraid, for I am with you. So I think he's describing here, as he does in an earlier chapter, how foolish it is when a carpenter and a goldsmith get together to make an idol. How foolish it is, and how they hold it up with nails so it doesn't totter over. But then he says, by contrast with that, he's saying, look, Israel, forget all those idols. I chose you, and therefore I will help you. And behold, all those who are incensed against you will be disappointed and confounded. Those who strive with you will be like nothing and shall perish. So he's saying, look, I'm far greater than any idol. I have chosen you. I simply love you. And you can have the world against you. You can stand with your back to the world and I will be with you. And I will bring about my purpose to save you. And this is a comfort that we all need, because at times it does seem that you stand with your back to the world, that you are different, that your path, it seems, is different to all those around you, and so it is. You will seek them, that is, those who are against you, and you will not find them, even those who contend with you. Those who fight against you will be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, Yahweh your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, don't be afraid, I will help you. Don't be afraid, you worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help you, says Yahweh, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. So then, don't be afraid. The Bible says this so often. Fear not, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And yet, in our lack of faith, we fear. You see, lack of faith leads to fear. They think, oh, I don't know, will I be saved? Will I be in God's kingdom? Am I really good enough for him? Is he really with me? And yet he treats us like little children. He says, fear not, I will hold your hand. I will help you. This is a sort of very simple language you use to little children. I will help you. I will hold your hand. And God says that to us. Behold, I have made you into a new sharp threshing instrument with teeth. You will thresh the mountains and beat them small and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will carry them away and the whirlwind will scatter them. This is the picture you've got in Daniel chapter 2, where the big image representing the kingdoms of men is knocked over by the little stone, which is like Jesus. And then it's ground into powder and the wind blows it away. As it says, all these things will be nothing. People won't be punished forever in eternal hellfire. This is a wrong idea. They will simply be nothing. They will not finally exist. But you will rejoice in Yahweh. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water and there is none. Their tongue fails for thirst. But I, Yahweh, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put cedar, acacia, myrtle, and oil trees in the wilderness. I will set fir trees, pine, and box trees together in the desert, that they may see, know, consider, and understand together, that the hand of Yahweh has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. So the earth is going to go back to how it was in the Garden of Eden, that the curse will be taken away. Produce your cause, says Yahweh, bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Says, if God is entering into judgment now with those against him, let them announce and declare to us what shall happen. Declare the former things, what they are, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or show us things to come. Declare the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work is of nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Well, the idols are called abominations, but God says whoever chooses to worship idols is an abomination. And so those who worship idols, as we read elsewhere, become like unto them. So if you choose idols, you will become like unto them. That's how it will be. You want to worship this football star or that pretty model or whatever. Well, that is how you will be, as empty-headed as they are. And you will die like they will forever unless they accept Jesus. And he's saying here that God is unique, the one true God, and that he can declare the things which are to come and the things that have happened. And I think it's not just that he can predict the future. I don't think that's the idea. The idea is that he can explain. He alone can give meaning to human history. He can declare the former things, and he can also declare the future things, that he can give meaning to history. Otherwise, all this stuff that goes on in human life and in the life of the planet, and the world, and people upon it, is all rather random, that this thing arose and this empire arose and this happened here and that happened there and then this happened and now we are now, and whatever shall happen in the future will happen. But it is only God who can give meaning to history, who can give meaning to experience. I have raised up one from the north, and he has come from the rising of the sun, one who calls on my name. He shall come on rulers as on mortar, and as the potter treads clay. Well, it's talking about Cyrus, who came from both the north and from the east, as it were. And yet also it's talking about Jesus, who's going to crush the rulers like they're just pottery. Well, this is Jesus when he comes back as the little stone in the image, hitting the image of Daniel chapter 2. As Cyrus didn't completely work out as was intended. And so Jesus is going to be who Cyrus could have been. Who has declared it from the beginning that we may know, and before that we may say he is right? Surely there is no one who declares like this. Surely there is no one who shows, there is no one who hears your words. I am the first to say to Zion, behold, look at them, and I will give one who brings good news, the gospel, to Jerusalem. When I look, there is no man. Even among them there is no counselor who, when I ask of them, can answer a word. Behold, all of them, their works of vanity and nothing, their molten images, that is, their idols, are wind and confusion, and all the things you strive for in this life, all the idols are just wind that will pass away compared to the things of God and Jesus and his kingdom.